Dear God, we come to you today and we thank you because you are so very good. Thank you for loving us. God, thank you for taking care of us, and thank you, God, that you speak to us through your word. So, God, I pray that as we read the Bible this morning, that you, through your spirit, would speak to us, that you would draw us to you, that you would help us to know and love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been going through the book of Matthew, looking at what Jesus did, listening to what he said. And we found ourselves in the middle, in Matthew 8, in the middle of a series of stories, mostly having to do with miracles, almost all having to do with, for the most part, with healing of one sort or another. And that's interesting in a sense to us because physical healing is something that draws our attention. When we read stories of physical healing in the Bible, there's something inside of us that kind of perks up and says, oh, I like that. Maybe God will. That gives me hope. I'm gonna keep praying for whatever my physical problem, my ailment in my life, the thing in my life that I really wish would change, whether it's something in my body or in my job, or because God obviously can perform miracles. So maybe I will get the same kind of thing. It gives us a little bit of hope because, well, it's natural that we would feel that, I think, because in this life, all that we know is what's here. So what's most important to me is what I can touch and what I can feel. It's my job, it's my family, it's my body, it's my life. When I'm in the hospital, the very most important thing to me is getting out of the hospital by walking, being healed. I want to have a good, happy, productive, prosperous life, and so because that's kind of our focus, because that's the only thing we've ever known as people, that our tendency can be to seek after God and look for God to give us help with our physical life. When we have problems, going to him and saying, please, would you solve this problem? And there's a story in Matthew 8, verse 14, and it's just a very short story, but it's a story about some healings that Jesus did. And as we read this story, what we'll see is this is going to connect Jesus' physical healings, the healings of actual physical ailments, with something much bigger, with something that is much bigger than just physical problems. And what we'll learn from this story is that Jesus heals us completely. He truly heals us. Look at Matthew 8, verse 14. Let's look at the story, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. In verse 14, when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. So there's a bunch of stuff in here, and we're not going to focus on the story itself as much as how it ends, but there's so much in this. First of all, Jesus spent time with the people that he was discipling, that he was training. It wasn't a professional relationship that he had like with Peter and the other disciples. He was part of his family. They were part of his family. He was in his home. He spent time with them. And as he spent time with them, and this may be a reason why sometimes it's tempting for us not to spend time with other people and not to spend time with other people that we want to invest in spiritually, because when you do that, you see their needs. So he was with Peter, with his family, and he saw his mother's need. In this case, she was sick. So look at verse 15. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him. And a couple things in that verse. Jesus didn't just see the need, he responded to it. He responded to the need. You see this throughout Jesus' life. He sees need, whether it's physical or spiritual, emotional, whatever, and he responds to the need that he sees in other people. And then look at how she responds to Jesus. She gets up and serves him. I think that there has to be. We could probably do a whole sermon on just that. How when Jesus touches our lives, our tendency is to say thank you very much and to go on with our life. You gave me what I needed. Now I'm on my way, and I'm healthier or happier or more spiritually complete, and now I can do what I really want to do. And what does she do? She responds to Jesus healing her by serving him. There's a lot there, but that's not the point. I don't think the main point of this passage. Let's keep reading. Verse 16. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. You see, Jesus healing and restoring everybody they brought to him. And again, we see Jesus' absolute power over everything. He is the King of the universe. Through him, all things were made, and all things exist for him. He rules and reigns over everything. And then look at verse 17. And this tells us something about the connection between our physical ailments and something bigger, something deeper. This was to fulfill. What was to fulfill? That Jesus cast out the demons, healed people who were oppressed by demons, and healed everyone who was sick. So it's taking physical ailments and things in this life, and then it's going to connect them with something else. This was to fulfill. What Jesus just did was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. If you take that verse by itself and read it, you could go down a path of Jesus, just a blanket kind of permission to say, Jesus will heal any sickness and any disease that we have. If you have enough faith, and maybe you've seen this on television or read it in a book, or it's a false teaching, but if you have enough faith, if you just believe hard enough, then Jesus will take your illness and bear your disease. But look at where this comes from. You might have a footnote in your Bible. This is a quote from Isaiah 53, from the prophet Isaiah, when he was talking about the Messiah, the rescuer who God would send to save us. And he's talking about him. And so then the writer of this says, see, Jesus healing our physical sicknesses was to fulfill this prophecy. So go back and look at that prophecy, and this will help us understand what Jesus' miracles meant in a broader context and what they truly mean for even us today. Go to Isaiah 53. The whole chapter is good, but we'll look just specifically at this section to see this prophecy that is saying Jesus healed their physical sicknesses to fulfill this prophecy. Surely he has borne our griefs, Isaiah 53, verse 4, and carried our sorrows. That's the part that was quoted in Matthew. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I was talking about healing. By his stripes we're healed. He's borne our griefs and our sorrows. It's talking about Jesus healing us. But what is this passage talking about? If you read this passage, there's nothing in this passage that would lead you to say, this is saying that the Messiah is going to come and just heal everyone's physical ills. No, this passage is saying Jesus will be crushed by God because of our iniquities. In verse 5, our rebellion against God will cause the Father to crush his Son. He will bear the punishment that will bring us peace with God. We'll be healed in our relationship with God. In verse 6, we've all gone astray. This is not talking about we have cancer and heart problems and physical ailments. No, we've turned away from God. We rebelled against God, and God has laid on Jesus our rebellion. So when he bears our griefs and our sorrows, Isaiah was talking about something deeper. He was talking about spiritual ailments. And then Matthew says when Jesus was healing physically, he was fulfilling that prophecy. And what he's doing is he's connecting the physical healing with spiritual healing. And what we see in that, and the way Matthew tells this story, is that the physical healings that Jesus did are a parable for spiritual healings. Physical healings represent or symbolize spiritual healings. And that starts to make more sense, because even if I become ill with name the illness. I always think, I have this sense that someday I'll get cancer, and that's not a prophetic thing, because that's a very common thing. We all, someday I will get a serious ailment. It may be cancer, it may be my heart, it may be you name, put a fill in the blanks, and say we all come together and pray, and it would be a wonderful thing. And the book of James talks about this, that we can pray and that God may bring physical healing. But even if I'm physically healed that time, you know what will inevitably happen, right? Unless Jesus comes back, I will continue to live a little bit longer, and then something else in my body will give way, and I will inevitably die. That my physical healing will not be permanent. So our physical ailments and even physical healing, whether it's now or whether it's when Jesus actually touched people and healed them in an instant, that is a parable for something deeper. It's a parable. The physical sickness is a parable for our spiritual sickness, and physical healing is a parable for spiritual healing. And this verse connects in Matthew, verse 17 connects what is physical, Jesus physically healing, with true spiritual healing. Because our true problem is not that we get sick. Our true problem is not that we will, if we live long enough, spend significant time in a hospital. That's not our true problem. Our true problem is that we are sick on the inside. Our true problem is that we live in a world that is broken. And our physical problems, our physical ailments are just a symptom of that. They're not the main problem. They're not the main thing that's wrong. They're a symptom of something much deeper. See we live in a world that's broken, and we feel that on the inside. We know that life isn't the way it should be. Things don't turn out the way that they should. We're never completely satisfied. You can achieve your goals and get what you want and have a perfect day, and at the end of the day, going to bed feeling like there's something more. We're never completely satisfied here. We always want more. We can't control our lives. We can't even control the simplest thing in our lives. The life is not perfect, and many times it's very, very difficult. It's a constant battle just to survive. We dread Mondays, right? The proverbial Monday's coming. Why? Because it's another week of just fighting to survive. Then on top of that, we get sick physically, and we have problems in our body, and then we inevitably will die. We can't escape that. We can ignore it. We can not talk about it. Maybe you were uncomfortable when I was talking about the fact that I'll inevitably get sick and die because you think, that's me as well. I am uncomfortable by that. We would rather ignore it. We would rather not think about it. We have a hard time dealing with it, because when we die, or when someone close to us dies, is when we lose this illusion that we can control life, which we can't. And on top of that, there's not just the external things that are wrong with this world, that are signs that it's broken. We are spiritually disconnected. We know that there's something big out there, bigger than us, out as a being, that there's something spiritual out there, something after this life, whether even people who live as if there is no God, when the end of life comes, there is a sense of there's something out there, there's something bigger, there's something. And we want a connection with something real, something bigger than us, something more powerful than us, the spiritual connection. And then at the same time, we fear that spiritual being, that being that is outside of us, bigger than us. We fear him because we know that we go through life, most of our life, ignoring him. We go through life not obeying him, but we know that inevitably, and understandably and deservedly, his wrath will fall on us. We're spiritually sick on the inside. And that's just part of living in a world that is fallen, that is broken. It's just the effect of our rebellion against God from Genesis 3 on, when the man and the woman said, we want to become like God, and they tried to take his place by disobeying him. The creation has rebelled against its creator, and the creation is broken. So we live in a broken world with sickness and pain and hard labor and violence and death and inevitably God's wrath and punishment. And Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God. He was the rescuer who was promised by God to rescue us from our rebellion, to restore creation to its original perfection, a creation that's in harmony with its creator. And he began this kingdom, the God's kingdom coming when he came, and then he instituted it with his death and with his resurrection, and he'll establish it for all time when he returns. But during his life, Jesus started undoing the effects of our rebellion against God. That's why he healed. He started undoing the effects of our brokenness, of the broken world. That's why he would heal sick people. That's why he rose people from the dead. That's not the right word to use, but you know what I'm saying. That he brought people back from the dead. Lazarus, the nameless widow's son, brought back from the dead. He was showing, he was undoing the effects of the rebellion. That's why he undid the effects of rebellion, like condemnation. For example, the woman who was found in the middle of adultery and brought before him, and he took away the condemnation that she felt. Jesus healed physically during his life, not because in that moment he was undoing all sickness and death. History since the time of Jesus shows that he didn't take away our getting sick and dying right now. We still live in a broken world. No, he did it to show that the kingdom was coming. He did it as an example of how his kingdom would be. He did it to show his power, over over the effects of the rebellion, and to show his ability to truly heal us. And that's what Matthew's saying in verse 17. He's saying Jesus healed. And that's a parable for the true healing that he brings. Physical healing is a sign of the kingdom of God, of the restoration of all things, primarily spiritual things. But when we read the stories of healing, it's so easy to get caught up on, oh, he healed physically, because that's where we're at, that's where we live. But it's so much bigger than that. And what Matthew is saying in this passage is that Jesus truly heals us. He can completely heal us, not just on the outside, on the inside. His physical healings, that when he physically healed people, prove it. They show it. And what does it say in that chapter in Isaiah? He took our sin upon himself. See, in look at what Matthew said. He took our illnesses, bore our diseases. If you connect that with the spiritual, Jesus took upon himself our rebellion against God. More than just coming in and healing or doing something and sending something away, he took it upon himself. That's what's incredible about what Jesus did. That's what's incredible about what we celebrate in the Lord's Supper, is that Jesus didn't come and wave a wand and say, you're healed spiritually, you're connected with God. He took our rebellion, our spiritual sickness upon himself. He took it upon himself and took it to the cross. He absorbed the wrath of the Father, and he gives us forgiveness. Jesus completely and truly heals us. He gives us peace with God. I mean, more than just being able to walk out of a hospital, he gives us forgiveness from our sins, from our rebellion against God. He puts us, he doesn't just change the way that we feel in our bodies. No, he puts us in a different family. He changes our family. He puts us in God's family. He gives us a new nature. He takes the old nature away. He gives us victory, the ability to live in victory over our sinful desires. And that's incredible. That's even bigger than beating a sickness, is being able to beat something on the inside that you just can't stop doing, and then you're able to because you're given victory over that. He gives us connection with God through the Holy Spirit. He gives us the promise of a resurrection. See, if we live in this life, we have the promise that we will die. But if we are connected with Jesus, we have the promise of rising from the dead to new life with a new glorified body. And he gives us the promise of eternal life and God's new creation. That is truly being healed. It's wonderful to be healed of a sickness. But even as you say thank you to God because you restored my body, we know it's temporary. But Jesus truly heals us. He takes us from being far away from God and brings us close. He brings us from takes us from being God's the children of God's wrath to being God's dearly beloved children. He takes us away from being lost to being found. God saves us and heals us truly through his Son, Jesus. He leaves us then without condemnation, completely healed. When God restores our body and the cancer is gone, what do doctors have to do? I have friends who have walked through this, and so I've walked with them. There's just the shadow of every 6 months, every 12 months, maybe every 3 years, if enough time has gone by, to check again to make sure it's gone. When God heals us on the inside, when he truly heals us, he leaves us free from condemnation. You don't have to do a check every 6 months to say, am I still saved? Does God still love me? Am I still completely approved of by the Father? Am I still the perfection of Christ in God's eyes? Is God still happy when he looks at me? I don't have to do a check every 6 months, every 12 months, every 3 years, and have someone else tell me, yep, you still have it. No, because that's permanent. That's for all time. You and I can live without fear of the eternity. How incredible is that? Because of what Jesus does when he truly heals us. So physical healing. Of all that we could pull out of this story, the where it ends, what I would say its main point is, that physical healing, the physical healings that Jesus did, point towards the cross. They point to where he truly and completely heals us. It's a sign of what is real healing. In the same way that sickness and death is a sign of our rebellion against God, a separation from him. And the spiritual death that awaits us for all eternity with God's wrath poured out on us. In the same way, then physical healing, when Jesus healed people, is a sign of spiritual healing, that you and I can be called sons and daughters of God. We could be forgiven. We could be free from the slavery to sin, free from our the spiritual death, and even free from our physical death as we rise with Jesus. So the physical healings are a parable of true healing, what Jesus worked on the cross, and what he works every time someone comes to him in repentance and baptism and gives themselves to him. And he saves them. So as we read this, we see physical healing, spiritual healing. One's a parable for the other. One's real, one's very temporary. What do we do with that? How do we live that out? What's the application from that other than just knowing it? I think the application is that we should receive it. We should appreciate it. We should share the healing that Jesus gives. If Jesus gives true healing, then you should receive that. If you've never come to Jesus and made a decision to give yourself to him, to repent and be baptized, to make him the Lord of your life, then this passage is a call to you to do that, to say, let Jesus heal you, not just on the outside. Let him heal you on the inside. Let him give you peace with God. Let him give you total forgiveness. And if you already have that, then this passage is a chance, is a call for you and I to stop for a moment and say, it's incredible. As incredible as it was, all the healing that Jesus did, that would have just been incredible, Jesus walking around touching people and healing them. What you and I have is even more. That was just a parable. That was just a symbol of what you and I have received. If you have entered into Christ and you have repented and been baptized and put Christ on as your Savior, you have true spiritual healing. Jesus has truly touched you. He's healed you. And this is a call for you and I to take a moment and say, that's incredible. What we celebrated when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, that's it. I have been healed. God loves me. The Father loves me. And I never have to check and make sure he still does. That is incredible. And it's also a call for you and I to share it with other people. Because in the same way that Jesus walked around and healed people physically during his life, he calls on you and I, if we've received his spiritual healing, to be his agents of giving that to other people. To talk to other people, to pray for other people, to say you can be healed on the inside. You can become God's child. Would you study the Bible with me? We should be people who are focused on that. We should be people who ask yourself the question, who am I sharing that with right now? Who could I be sharing that with right now? We should be people who don't just appreciate being healed, but rather share it with other people. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together. And then we'll sing. Dear God, we come to you right now and we thank you because you are so good. When we see how Jesus healed people physically and we're blown away by that, and then we stop and think how what you do on the inside of us when you make us your children, you forgive us, that's even more mind-boggling. We thank you, God. You are so very good. I pray that you would help us to receive that healing, to appreciate what we have, and then share it with other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.